All right, Rich said something about an limited run order actually coming in. So this is like breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news.
Like whenever we mention them, it seems like they do something. So I think they're like our one listener somehow. Maybe they just have like a notice that goes off if somebody mentions them somewhere.
Yeah,
I finally got my Turtles games from however long ago that was.
So like, you know how you have like the Google alerts you can set up if like someone searches something specific? They have the alert set up if they listen to the Spotify podcasts and they're like, oh, anytime someone says something, oh, there's our name. Oh, it's those damn Noise Brigade people again.
So I got Shredder's Revenge, the PC edition and the Switch edition 2 years after it was released. Yay.
I still have yet to see any updates on my supposedly ready to ship fucking Worms Armageddon for the N64.
So Bob still doesn't have Worms.
Yeah, I still don't have Worms, and I'm very eagerly awaiting being able to say that I do in fact have Worms.
So okay, so I do have something to add here. So my kids, at least my daughter, is big into, you know, obviously the generation is big into like YouTube and stuff. So you know, watching these different YouTube channels that end up so popular that they have merch and stuff. Well, similar thing. She pre-ordered something. You know, it wasn't anything crazy. It was like a little plushie and some stickers and a poster that was supposed to have shipped, I think, back in May, and she got it yesterday. So it's not like we're trashing limited run games here just because like they're the only ones that slowly ship. Other places do it. It's just that, you know, we're video game nerds, you know.
Well, and also other places do it, but other places don't make you wait 2+ years to get your product that you paid for.
Don't do it all the time. Like with limited run, you kind of expect it at this point.
Yeah, limited run. I know that if I order something, I don't care when it says it's going to release. It could say that it's going to release.
That's the best part. I forgot to say that. I opened up the box, and sitting on top of it are these two little "we're sorry" cards.
Yeah.
And for me waiting so long to get my stuff, they're giving me 5% off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
5%.
What the fuck? They won't even cover the tax.
Nope.
Right.
It was basically a little fuck you. Like, here you go. Yeah. Here's your shit. Fuck you.
It should have just been a picture of someone's middle finger.
Yeah.
Because I got that too. I forget what order it was I was waiting forever for. It
would have been a turd.
Yeah, that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Limited Run Turds. That's what they're going to start sending out.
Hey, you got the special edition signed turd from the guy that packaged the box.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That is ridiculous. 5%. First of all, I mean, it's to me, it's bad enough when you see like, oh, yeah, sign up for our new thing. You'll get 10% off your first order. It's like, okay, great. I can cover the tax, and then maybe I get like a dollar off of whatever I'm ordering. But 5% is just a slap in the face.
Pre-orders and turtles. Not to veer off topic a little bit, like we have a topic. But NECA makes those really cool Ninja Turtles figures. They do it for like every movie, every, you know, they have comic stuff out now, shit like that. They just did their they announced it a while ago that it was coming out. It's the Turtles Sewer Lair. Just a little box, three walls, floor. You don't even get all the accessories. If you wanted like the TV and stuff, you had to buy the accessory pack separate.
Wait, hold on. Is it like a new one or is it remake of the old one?
I'll send a link. It's from the TV show. So it's like right out of the TV. It looks really nice. I will give them that. They make awesome stuff. I've had their Turtle Van pre-ordered for a year and they're finally shipping that. So yeah.
But is it ready for shipment or do you have a tracking number?
I think I have a tracking number.
Whoa. Look at you, big shot.
Yes. So anyway, they finally announced this thing. It's available for pre-order. It's an open pre-order. So a lot of their stuff comes out like exclusive to Walmart or Target. And you have to like be lucky when you walk into the store that it's there or else you have to pay a scalper for it. Well, this one, they're scalping it themselves because they I should show you guys a picture of this first. Here's the picture of it. Again, it's definitely cool. I guess it's big-ish if you look at it.
That's cool. I do like that.
People were thinking, well, I don't know, the car was $200, the van. So, like, well, if the party wagon's $200, this can't be. It's theoretically, you can take One of the special features of this is you can take all the shit out of the inside of it, and it becomes a garage for the turtle van. So the turtle van will fit inside of it. People that collect this stuff is upset because when they put it up for pre-order, they announce the pricing of it. It's $299 with $60 shipping.
Holy crap.
A $360 little playset here.
And then you can buy the accessories separately.
Yep. Luckily, I already got the accessories because they came out earlier. That was even wonderful. When the accessories came out, they were all the cartoon stuff is usually a Target exclusive. So I luckily found that one day. And I feel bad for the people who bought the stuff because when they came out, the accessories were $60. They came out as part of Target's Haul-a-thon, whatever the hell they call their summer festival thing they do. Sold out immediately. So people were paying like $150 for it online. And now it's an open pre-order again. So, yeah. But again, that should have probably came. The only thing that comes with the turtle lair, you don't get the TV. You get the couch, a chair, a little coffee table, and a couple of end tables.
Man, so you got to buy like DLC for your toys at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
My God.
I haven't pre-ordered it yet. I don't think I'm going to pre-order it, but I'll probably cave before the end of the open pre-order.
That is crazy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Rich, you, and again, you know, well, one of these days, we've teased this for years now, we'll get visual. But no, this is a link from store.neca.com. And yeah, it's a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sewer. It's like a diorama looking thing. And it is really neat. I mean, really cool looking. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like some of the prices I'm looking at on this, geez.
That's $299 for that. If you scroll down a little bit, they have a life size 1-to-1 Bride of Chucky for $100 more. So $400.
Did we learn nothing from Megan?
What's that?
Did we learn nothing from the movie Megan?
I mean, I don't know. Rich might have ordered 10 Bride of Chucky's. I have no idea.
I don't know. Megan.
Not the anatomically correct ones.
Oh, but man. That is wild. With Jennifer
Tilly proportions.
That is wild. Oh, wait. I just hit store, and now I see Batman utility belt. What is this?
Oh, it's like 89 Batman utility
belt. Oh, yeah.
Dude. Listen, remember when we were kids and it was just like the, you know, the original Ninja Turtles toy line and they had the sewer play set and it was a lot bigger than that, and a lot more to it than that. And I'm fairly certain that it was cheaper than that.
Buy the complete vintage one for less than $300.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I mean, yeah, is this cool? You can stack other shit on top of it and make, like, multiple displays. Oh, yeah,
that's even wonderful. You could stack other shit on top of it, but if you haven't bought that already, you're not going to buy it because you can get it secondhand. It's like $400 for the thing that goes on top of it.
Why the fuck would the stuff that goes on top come out before the
They were street dioramas, so they have – I don't have them either. They have a movie one that looks more realistic, then they repainted it to look like the cartoon.
This just seems like a, I don't know.
It's a scam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going. Because I'm looking at the Batman belt. This seriously looks like something that should cost no more than $20. And this stupid thing is $135. Like, it just looks, I'm sorry, but it's.
I got that beat. They're the ones they put out, like if you're ever going into a Target, these are the ones that are like next to the movies and stuff in the back of the Target. Right. They sell piles of stuff. So they have, they do like all movies or horror stuff, they have a big horror thing. And they had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But if you wanted to, you could buy a repainted version of Leatherface that looks like the Atari game where he's just got a blue head and a completely yellow body.
It's so fucking bad.
Oh, what is this? I don't know.
Freddy and Jason too. I think I also did like a Goliath from Gargoyles repainted to look like the Genesis game.
Didn't they do the? Aren't they the ones that did the the mashup between or the crossover figures with the Turtles and Stranger Things, where one of the figures is upside down?
No, that's Playmates.
Playmates for that?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
They did. They're actually really cool if you look them up. It's the Universal Monsters mixed with Turtles, which they also did back in the day, like the original ones. But these are much more detailed. They're really cool.
I saw those at Target.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. I'm just, you know, almost curious to see what the heck else they've had in the past now.
These are the ones. They did the movie Turtles, too. They're the ones that I got signed by 3 out of 4 of them. I'm missing whoever plays Raphael. He's some guy I never heard of.
Like, yeah, I saw
in the movie.
I mean, look, just looking at the website there on the store, it's like they've had, like, Back to the Future, which piques my interest, but there's nothing clickable, I guess, because it's something they made in the past.
Oh, the Back to the Future ones were fun because you had to, well, you didn't have to, but they made an accessory set for that. That's their big thing, too, is they'll put out stuff and they'll put out accessory sets for them.
Of course.
So it came with Einstein, the Vulcan hand for the Marty McFly figure they did, and some other head. They come up with different heads.
We're gonna sell you this action figure, but we're not including the left hand. You got to buy, for our entire set of action figures, you've got to buy this left hand accessory pack, and then you can have a complete figure set.
Hey, guys, I opened up my mail, and what did you get? I got a hand for an action figure.
Yeah. Well, who was it? Was it Obvious Plant that did it, or was it actually some kind of figure?
It was Obvious Plant. It was
old Luke's left hand?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was one of them. It wasn't a real thing. It was a
But I wouldn't have been surprised. I really wouldn't have been surprised if somebody made a Luke's left hand figure. They made the meat. McFarlane made the meat from fucking Rocky. So
that's a good point. That's a good point.
That wasn't McFarlane, but yeah, there is the meat figure.
Yeah, whoever the fuck. Someone made a fucking action figure of meat.
Let's see, Rocky meat.
And we're not talking about meat from WWF.
Nope. Or meat from Porky's. No, we're talking about a side of beef.
Yeah, I don't know who made it, but was it Jax?
Yeah.
Jax Pacific?
It's the people that made the wrestling figures. Those Rocky figures are expensive now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Good shit.
Yeah, it's... that's interesting looking. It's actually called The Meat.
The meat, yeah.
The meat, yep. I thought Arby's had the meat. They have the meats.
Yeah,
they
Rocky was the meat, and then Arby's was like Rocky too. They have the meats.
So can you wait? So do they have? So they just have multiple figures of the meats? Is that where you buy the meat? Do you go to Arby's and buy the action figure?
I think so, because apparently it's out of stock anywhere else. You just got to go to Arby's.
Just got to go to Arby's. That makes sense.
So if you're looking for Rocky action figure meat, just go to Arby's. Hey, yeah, that whole set has there's a Paulie action figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, he's got the flannel and everything.
Can you get a cuff and link?
I'm looking.
A Paulie action figure, but I want to customize it into the guy from Back to School. He was the bodyguard in Back to School.
I'm not gonna lie, like I'm not going to lie, that's actually a pretty cool action figure set. It looks pretty good.
What about the robot? Is the robot in it? Happy birthday, Polly.
I wish. I don't know. The meat thing actually looks pretty cool, although it's weird, though, because the way it's designed, it straight up looks like something that should come out of a horror movie.
I'm pretty sure they have Jax had the same license, so it may. But I'm pretty sure there's a Thunderlips figure in that set. So Hulk Hogan. Nice. There's definitely a Mike Tyson, an Iron Mike figure. I don't really remember what movie he was in, but probably one of the later ones.
I think the first time I ever ordered from Pro Wrestling Tees, they sent a Thunderlips sticker with it, and I was like, "This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen." Because it was so unexpected. You know, because they always ship like random stuff with your order. They've done that for years. I mean, I haven't ordered from them for a while. I assume they still do it. And like I've seen some pretty cool stuff. Bob, I think you end up with like something like I sent you that was like Swanson and Rittner related or whatever.
Yeah, it's not. You know what? I know where it is. Stand by.
But Rich, do you ever order from them, Rich?
No.
Or wrestling tees?
Every once in a while, they have some exclusive wrestling figures, which look cool, but I haven't done anything yet.
And I've ordered from them a few times, like over the years, and it's cool because like they always send something random with your order. So if like you order a shirt, they'll send like a cool magnet or a cool sticker or a pin or like it's like a freebie they throw in. And it's cool because like you have no idea what you're gonna get. And so like the first thing, like I said, I got was a Thunderlip sticker, which was completely, it just cracked me up. It was like, I have to order from these people again. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, the Swanson Rittner pin. Yeah.
And that's they sent me LOD.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's
I so can't cool. You look blurry on my side.
And I think, if I remember correctly, they sent me a Vicky Guerrero pin as well, which I used to scare children at Halloween.
Excuse me.
It's literally, it's her ugly ass face with that coming out of it. I just got to see if
we're veering off the wrestling. So there's two big wrestling rumors that they're not rumors. I guess they're one of them's true. One's
are. Oh, we got more breaking news, people.
Dax. No.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, yes, one of them got arrested for gun charges. I forget which one.
Cash Wheeler in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah. Florida.
I saw that from the old Lords of Pain, which is not Lords of Pain, but I'm always going to call it Lords of Pain.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Yeah, no, he got arrested on a gun charge. You're right. And you guys see the mugshot?
Assault
yeah. He got busted in the face.
Yeah, he got popped in the noggin.
They're currently the world the tag team champions right now, and they're supposed to be in a pay-per-view a week from Sunday. So
yeah, and it's not just any pay-per-view.
It's all in.
Where is it at?
London, Wembley. England.
Yeah, Wembley, and that's ooh.
I've actually got a recreation of it.
That, all right. So now I'm generally curious. So we have this upstart, obviously, company that's now turned into like a formidable,
I think,
wrestling company.
We lost Bob.
What?
Oh no, there you go.
No, your video is just frozen, but you're good. We can hear you.
Yeah.
But no. So we have this. AEW is kind of. You really bust on the scene here in the last few years and really kind of made a name for themselves. We've obviously talked about them, time and again on the pod here, but I do have a genuine question, like with this Cash Wheeler incident, and now you're leading into basically your WrestleMania. That's what this pay-per-view is, or at least this time of year for them. Especially now Wembley, that's huge. I don't know. Like, I think how Tony handles this is, is it going to be like an Uso thing where it's like, it's just another DUI, just give him another belt?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because
well, the other thing is people pointed out that when Jeff Hardy got his DUI or whatever it was, they suspended him. So he was out for a while. So
maybe, yeah, and maybe that's what's going to happen here.
There's a lot of shit going on at AEW. There's rumors that Edge might be coming to AEW after his contract was over today.
Yeah.
And he's hinted at he's had pictures taken with the other FTR guy with like rumors that maybe he's coming over to do another run with Christian in AEW.
Yeah. Well, him and
be weird but cool at the same time to see Edge and Christian against the Hardys again. But you can see that
would be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Edge and Christian.
The Hardys look a little rough. I don't know about Edge and Christian again.
Versus the Bucks.
Yeah.
I just don't know at this point. And I guess it would be fun to see in a blow off like one match deal. Like
I thought it'd be fun to see RVD again too. And I really liked RVD as a kid. And I think I could have lived without seeing that.
And I think that's the thing that bothers me about watching some of the older guys come back. And I knew like last year they had like the big show in Nashville with Ric Flair's last match, and it's like, look, the dude should have just hung it up with Shawn years ago at WrestleMania. And I know some of these guys can still throw down. Don't get me wrong. I know they still put on a show, but at a certain point, it's time to hang it up.
Right.
Like it's just not working. And, I don't know. I'm curious to see if Edge does come come to AEW just in the sheer fact of, you're right, Rich, I think that that would be interesting to see maybe a little run with Christian. But I loved, like, Rich, you ever watch the WWE Network stuff with Edge and Christian at all?
No, I didn't have it at the time.
It was it's really good. I guess it's still out there on Peacock. It's really funny. Bob, what was that, a couple seasons of that show they did?
Yeah, it was 2 seasons, I think. And then they parlayed it into their podcast, which their podcast was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, that show was really good. I thought it was great because it was like it was off the wall, like skit based, you know. But it was good, and then obviously Christian went his way to AEW, so that stopped. But
see, but when you see guys, I'm just going back to the people coming back because they're older, like RVD. When you see guys like Ric Flair wrestling in his 70s or however old he is, and Hulk Hogan wrestling later, these guys aren't like they do 5 moves pretty much. But then you see RVD come out, and he still does or tries to do the high flying moves that he's known for. Like Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair aren't known for doing, you know, the top rope kind of weird shit.
Yeah, that's what I guess people always busted John Cena up for. Oh, yeah, he only does these certain moves. Well, you know what? Five moves of doom. Right. Now John Cena can go out there when he's 80 and still do the same 5 moves of doom.
Randy Orton, too. Yeah.
Yeah, all of Randy Orton's got to do is an RKO and boom. Yeah.
Right.
Immediate pop.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like Edge looked good when he was in the ring. Just like I feel like Christian, I mean, they looked. The nice thing is they were never – they did some stupid shit, but their moveset was never super high-flying, was never – it was more – they were there, and everybody else was jumping around like spot monkeys, and then they were, you know, doing their moves in reaction to it, and that's what made it a good match. Like, they were never the – I can't remember an Edge and Christian match – outside of TLC matches where I was like, holy shit, that was they were good technical wrestlers, but they were never to me the big high spot wrestlers.
They're both 49. Edge is exactly 1 month older. And the thing that was interesting to me anyway, with Edge was that his run recently in the WWE wasn't terrible.
Be really good. I never watched it, but I kept reading and get good reviews.
Yeah, I was honestly kind of surprised because he was, you know, away for what, 10 years?
Yeah.
So.
I think that they could do good in a limited, like, farewell tour kind of thing. Blow it off with a Bucks versus Hardys versus Edge and Christian, you know, at next year's All Out or All In or whatever the fuck you call it, you know.
You can't do a match like that and not have some kind of interference run in from the Dudleys.
Right. We got to see where Bubba is, because if Bubba's still signed with TNA or Impact or whatever the fuck they're called now, then that ain't going to happen. Well, no, that might happen because they have the working relationship.
You got to do it quicker than a year, though, because you don't know how long Jeff Hardy's going to last.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't. You got to plan as if he's going to be sober, even though he's probably not. You got to plan that way because you can't – that deserves a build, you know, and that deserves a major spotlight on a blow-off. So you plan for whatever the – and this is how you telegraph it without telling people, is you set up that show for Toronto for next year, and then – that way they get to have – that's what Edge said. He said he always just wanted to go out in Toronto. So you do the whole thing, and then the last match of their careers, Toronto, Canada, leave the boots in the ring, off in the sunset.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, it's – that would be – and that would be quite the draw too. I mean, particularly for anyone that's been a fan of wrestling for the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah, they actually – they put it's funny because when they were still doing their podcast, they had the Young Bucks on there. And they were like, yeah, you know, we got to do a match. It'll be the Young Bucks versus the Old Fucks. So it'd be cool to see that finally come to fruition. But we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something I don't know if Rich has any kind of interest in, but we'll pick his brain on this anyway. You and I had talked a little bit about the nameplates being reused on classic cars, getting revived and made into crossovers and electric vehicles and just fucking basically shitting on their history and on their legacy. And what really brought it, you know, it sucked bad enough that the Eclipse got made into a crossover. And then we have the electric Mustang. Then Dodge does it with the Hornet. They make the Hornet into a turbocharged, like smallish SUV crossover type. But the latest one is just an affront to anyone who was into cars in the 90s, particularly Mitsubishis and or Dodges. The Dodge Stealth is being re-released, and it is a replacement, an electric replacement for the Dodge Durango.
Yeah, and I don't know. I you threw this at me the other day, and I don't know. I immediately, it's cool for one. Okay, one side of this whole argument with reusing or recycling car names, anyway, is that you have the nostalgia come back. It's cool to see the name come back. It's cool to see, like, the other side of it, though, is like you end up with crap like the Mustang. And now they have, like, the Mustang Mach-E or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is that the electric version?
That's the electric.
And, Rich, are you familiar with what the electric version of the Mustang looks like?
No.
But you're obviously very familiar with, you know, Mustang, obviously, as the muscle car from the 60s on to price. Yeah. Just quickly Google a picture of the Mustang electric car, and you tell me that looks like a Mustang.
Take a shit, stick a battery in it.
Oh.
That's essentially what it is.
And it's just, but that's the thing, though. It's, gosh, it's hard because you it's cool to keep it around, but then you have stuff like that. It's just so bad.
I mean, I get it from the perspective of you've got potential interest, and you get a visceral reaction to, you know, to the name, which is why, you know, you can sell a Jeep Wrangler with 150,000 miles on it for 20 grand because it's a Jeep and people want Jeeps. They're a fun brand. They're a legacy brand. You get people to buy in. That's why the Ford Bronco, as underpowered as a piece of shit as that is, I still like it. Like, I think it looks okay, but I'm not spending 50 grand on an inline three.
Yeah. It sucks. You have these nostalgic names that come back from the dead, and they've done it time and again. Look, it's not anything new. So they've done it with the Dodge Dart. That wasn't that one another one they did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did the Dart. They kind of reconfigured the Neon. Because the Neon went from the Neon to the SXT, or it was a Neon SXT, and then they just shortened it to SXT, and then they took that and reworked it a little bit more and made it into the Dart. They did the they rebranded the Avenger, and they made the Avenger just basically a smaller Charger. And it wasn't good. It was just a little four banger. It was basically a fucking Neon with a different skin on it, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like I found an Auto Trader article, and this was kind of interesting. You know, and this goes back a couple of years, this article, but it's not like this is anything new. Like, they've recycled car names for a long time. But I want to read this little paragraph, and I just think this is kind of funny. So we're talking about Studebaker. You guys are familiar with the Studebaker car company, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so another Studebaker model was the Daytona. So it was used on a compact car in the 1960s, and it was factory equipped with a V8 and a performance package. So the Daytona back in the 1960s, as a Studebaker, was apparently a V8 car that, you know, had some moxie behind it. But obviously the Daytona was reused with Dodge, you know, of course, you know, they reused it with a 69 Charger, but also the Daytona that we know from the 1980s was not quite the
my first car.
Was it really?
89 Dodge Daytona.
No kidding.
Yeah. No paint kidding. Flaked off as I drove. If I drove over 40 miles an hour,
no kidding.
I would have to pick the fuse box to get the radio and the lights to stay on.
Wow. So there you go. So you went from in your car didn't have a V8, did it?
No. My car had a 4-cylinder. It was like a 2-point-something 4-cylinder. Let me see.
You can't base all cars of a model based on a car you've had, though, because you've always had bad luck with cars.
So, with the difference being, okay, so it had a 2.2 Chrysler K engine, and it was...
Oh, it was a K car?
Yeah, it had 93 horsepower.
Are you serious? Rich, what was your first car?
It was a 4-cylinder Mustang.
No kidding.
Yeah, 1989, yeah. Mustang LX. That's
nice. I remember that. No, I mean, I've had a lot of cars, but most of them have been good. It's just, you know, I wore them out. Once they get over 100,000 miles, I'm not really looking into fixing the transmission or replacing the transmission or any of that shit. So, but no, it's every company does it. Every company trades on nostalgia. Sports teams do it. Movie companies do it. Everyone does it.
Oh, movie companies are notorious for it. That's why we see friggin' movies being remade all the damn time.
You're talking to a guy that had both a PT Cruiser and a Mini Cooper.
I do like the Mini Coopers. I have nothing wrong with them. Yeah. I can't back you up on the PT Cruiser though.
I've got an old woman's car, but I like that.
I've got nothing against minis. PT Cruiser, I love the style, but I just feel like the execution wasn't there.
Yeah, that's the same way. Like to me, it was like they were doing some really cool stuff back then. Because prior to that, you had the release of the Prowler.
Yes.
Which I thought that was awesome. You kind of went in a different direction. You're kind of bringing back a little retro. But you had this like really cool, you know, badass looking car, and you kept the retro, but then you went to PT Cruiser, and it's like, okay, cool, I like the style, but where's all the insides at?
Right. Which it was a fucking neon. It was a reskin neon.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have done so much with that. If they drop a 6 in that, it's instantly at the top of my list for like, you know, let's go get this and sleep on some people.
But they don't. But you know, here's the funny thing though. They don't release the PT Cruiser. You don't get the Chevy HHR,
which I like the Chevy HHR. Wait. No, I don't like the HHR.
Yeah, but that's the reason why they released that was to be in response to that.
HHR as a rental car for a little bit.
Did you really?
It was a fun drive. It was that you mentioned the PT Cruiser. That was definitely like one of the only cars I had where you put your foot on the gas pedal and it started to move maybe 10 seconds later. There was definitely no oomph in that at all. But the HHR, that had oomph. That was pretty fun to drive. It was a very similar body type.
That's what I like the Chevy SSR.
That's a completely different car.
No, the HHR, that's why I had to think about it for a second.
Which is the one that looks like the PT Cruiser.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the GM response to the because there look, let's not kid ourselves here. The PT Cruiser was a very popular vehicle. I mean, GM had to respond to that. So they responded, I think, with the HHR, and I mean,
it was a much better drive.
Was it really? Yeah. See, I've never driven either, so.
The PT Cruiser, I went from having I had the 99 Camaro. I went from that to driving the PT Cruiser. And it was basically, it was much more comfortable to drive the PT Cruiser. It wasn't as fun. But, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Camaro.
One of the PT Cruisers you would in a Camaro.
Yeah. Although, you know, you could store more groceries.
That's true.
You
could
store more anything, yeah.
I mean, more beer.
More body parts. I mean.
Yeah, more dead bodies. You could fit way more dead bodies in PT Cruiser than a Camaro.
So many dead bodies in a PT Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask any of the dead bodies that are driving them around South Florida.
I got so many tickets with the Camaro, too, and no tickets with the PT Cruiser. Oddly enough.
Gee, you know as I was going to say, is that the joke where that comes in at? Like, could you even get a speeding ticket in that thing?
I had it at the maximum. But, yeah, you could get it in a couple hours.
Speaking of those kind of cars, when I was going over to the east coast of Florida to go look at a Jeep over there that ended up being that was a fucking joke. I rented a Nissan Rogue Sport, and literally on the highway going up like a slight incline, I had my foot on the fucking floor and it was just going, like you couldn't even tell that we were really accelerating. I looked at the speedometer just to see if we were actually going any faster, and I could just see it. It was just slowly inching up. So that's must have been what you felt like driving that fucking PT Cruiser, man. Yeah. Like, and I don't understand. Like, I feel like that's not safe for them to make cars that are that shitty.
Well, I got a funny story. So I had the G8 GT, which obviously, you know, could go a little bit. So I took it to a dealership one time because I was like, I can't afford to have this car anymore because the parts were just astronomically expensive. So I was like, I'm just going to turn it over for a Honda Civic because I know that it's really good gas mileage and they're very reliable. And I got behind the wheel because it was like baseline Honda. And though I'm not dumping on them, I just at this point had been driving a car that had, you know, 360 plus horsepower for quite a while. And I got behind the wheel of the Honda Civic, and I took it around for a few minutes, and I took it back to the salesman. I was like, "We can't do this. Just give me the keys to my car back."
Well, that was the hardest thing when I got rid of my Challenger. The hardest thing for me, and probably the reason why I ended up with that shitty Mustang, was because I could not fathom going from my dream car with over 300 horsepower to a little shitty Econo box with a CVT. And even though I don't drive that far to work every day, the idea of going from, like, you know, again, my dream car to like a fucking, and obviously I would never even think about this, but a Mitsubishi Mirage, you know, like, not gonna fucking happen, dude.
See, I had an hour and a half commute one way, so I went from doing that in that Camaro, which was a little tight, little boxy, but there's something just more comfortable. I need more comfort. I made it from the Mickleton house to the shore in under an hour, though, in the Camaro before.
No kidding. That's awesome. No kidding. That's awesome.
You get on 55, like, in the middle of the night.
Oh,
like I said, yes. Tickets. I got a lot of tickets in that car, but yeah.
55 in the middle of the night. There was no speed limit. That's how that worked. Because if you did end up seeing the lights behind you, you turn the lights off and fly off an exit, and you're good to go. I mean, I didn't do that ever.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, how about that plant?
But no, and I think this goes back to what you just brought up, though, with recycling, bringing back the old car names. So I always tried to have something that was stylish car wise, just because that's what I wanted. Not that it necessarily was the best decision, you know, for myself or whatever at the time, but that was the thing. So it's like it pains me to see certain names coming back off of cars that, like, you know, obviously have a prestige and a history. And, you know, it was cool to, like, see the Camaro come back, right? So they brought that back in the right way to me,
right?
Some of these other ones, though, it's like, I don't know,
like even the GTO.
Oh,
as much as I really wanted to like that,
Yeah, like don't get me wrong, like, you know, underneath the outward appearance, like if you scrape all that away, but it looked like a freaking Cavalier. Like,
right. Right. No, it did. It was fucking, dude, it was not a GTO.
Mm-mm. No, at all. It was, okay, here's the thing. If GM would have brought that back at the same time that Dodge brought back the Challenger, the GTO would have been awesome.
Right.
But they didn't. They brought it back during the worst era of cars.
Yeah. Because they would have had to try to match the styling in order to compete.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if they would have brought it back when the Charger was out, when the Charger first came back. Because the Charger hadn't come back. What was the first year the Charger came back was, like, what, 2007, 2008 model year?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Because I had one of the first gen ones. We were out in California. We went out there to play softball when I was in the 108th. And we got a Charger as our rental car. And it's fucking sweet. But, you know, if it would have had to compete against that kind of styling, would have been much better. But we were still in that future, you know, the futuristic, everything is sleek kind of mentality, which I guess it was kind of because it was a long, wasn't it a Holden that was brought over from Australia? And they just rebadged it as a GTO?
Yeah, it was GM's Australian arm, which is Holden.
Yeah, Holden.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that was the reason why, like, my car became, like, when I had the G8, that's the reason why it became, like, some ridiculous, like, sunk cost at that point, because every part I had to get whenever Pontiac folded basically had to come from Australia, which was awful.
Yeah.
No, actually, so I was thinking about that, though. One of the funnest cars I had the 03 Impala, which was white. And so every time I drove it, people thought I was police.
Nice.
So I remember driving toward Ocean City one time and, like, people just, like, moving off of 49. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, they think I'm police. I was like, okay, I'll see how far I can keep this going. Like, three or four cars in front of me just, like, kept going to the side of the road. I'm like, okay.
That's right. I keep on seeing the Charger, because we use Chargers before everybody switched over. Now everybody's in Ford Explorers. But we had there's a bunch of Chargers for sale with the light on it and everything. And I keep thinking, man, I should get one of those. That's like a right year and pass to do whatever you want as far as speed wise, but.
Boys, I've always seen those, and it's like, I don't know, I gotta get in too much trouble, something like that.
I won't put lights on it or anything.
Nah,
probably.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.